Hello and welcome to Good News for Radio. We're coming at you from Flame Radio up in the northwest of England, and we here in the Good News studios like to take a bit of a look around at the news and talk about it from a Christian worldview point of view. My name's Peter Timothy Cooper, and I'm joined in the studio as usual by Beryl Polden, my usual conversation partner. So how are you doing today then, Beryl?
I'm okay, thank you, Peter.
What have you noticed in the news this week then?
Well, particularly I noticed in my watching of television yesterday, I do tend to watch rather a lot of television.
Okay, confession time, right. Okay.
Well, I hope... Hopefully I watch things that are good for me.
Yes, well, yeah, I'm sure there were good things on TV. Well, I can't rule it out. So what did you see?
I saw the service at Westminster Abbey celebrated the 70th anniversary of the founding of the Commonwealth.
Right. I didn't know. I have to say, I didn't know that was happening. So the 70th anniversary of the founding of the Commonwealth.
Yes.
Yes. Which was founded from the vestiges of the empire.
I guess so. Yes. Yeah. Let me see. Yes, I was actually born before the founding of the Commonwealth, but I can't say I knew a lot about it. I was only 6 years old.
Yeah, right. So. You were born when there was an empire.
Yes. But I was interested.
What if the Empire will strike back? That's Star Wars.
Good question.
Now it's the second Star Wars film. The first one is A New Hope. Let's hope.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, go on. What struck you about this? If you were
I watched it primarily to see which of the royal family would be there.
Yeah.
And they were all there. All the important members. Mm-hmm. Of the now royal family.
Yes.
They were all there, and I wanted to see what they wore as well. Perhaps that's not so Christian, but...
Well, and... Theresa May was there as the Prime Minister.
Yes, she was there as Prime Minister, but also she took part by reading a portion of the Bible.
Right.
A portion from 1 Corinthians.
Oh, okay, yes.
And it was about the body.
Yeah.
And that no part of the body could say to another part of the body, I don't need you.
Yes.
And as a clergyman, you'll be familiar with that passage, I'm sure.
Well, yes, 1 Corinthians 12. And as you're talking, I brought it up on the screen. So just for you, those at home who think that I know the entire Bible, I mean, I might have known this verse because this is a well-known verse, isn't it? For us, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And then it goes on to talk about this, and it's an illustration, the body is an illustration of the people who are given each given a gift or a portion of God's grace. Yeah, yeah, that's it. So,
and are able to function.
Yeah, and if the foot, verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And there's illustrations of different parts. But it concludes with saying, there are many parts and yet one body. That's that section. How far did she read to? Did she read to the bit about if one member is honoured, all rejoice together? Was that? Do you remember how far she read?
She read down to verse 26.
Right. Yes. So she read the bit about the parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow with greater honour, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. So you know, we always wear clothing. Pretty much always over certain parts of our body. So we says they were honouring them more, even though they're not seen as being
I don't know which version of the Bible she read.
Right. That was the English Standard Version I was reading.
Right. I was following it because Westminster Abbey produced a PDF
Oh, right. Okay.
So with the service on.
Yeah.
So I didn't look to see which. I could have looked to see which version she read, but I'm not sure.
Yes. Now, if you look up articles about this, I've just called up an article from that great British newspaper, The Sun, and they commented on it, and they often comment on such things. You know, if it's a royal event, they'll be there commenting. Now, they are saying just before she went to Strasbourg, so to one of the centres of the EU, she'd read this First Corinthians passage. And they quote, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you, and then quotes the next few verses. And then they say, and down to, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And then they quote, they comment, the Sun newspaper comment, it was seen as a coded message for the EU to compromise on Brexit as talks go down to the wire. That seems to me to be one of the most extraordinary examples of interpreting scripture that I've ever come across. Really?
Well, it's surprising you say that.
Yes.
Because I thought of the EU as well.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, well, perhaps I'm missing it. Okay. okay, so obviously that wasn't the original intention. How does it... But we can, of course, we can apply scriptures to things today. So how does it fit?
Well, in terms of the Commonwealth, we can't say to other countries that we have no need of them. I mean, for example, we could have cast, and I imagine, I believe we did cast South Africa out of the Commonwealth back along because of apartheid.
Yes.
And we cast, I imagine also we cast Zimbabwe out of the Commonwealth for a similar reason.
Right. Yeah.
Because of Mugabe.
Yes.
But when we can, as a country, we invite them to come back in. When they have become more acceptable as as a people, as a government.
So that's the Commonwealth. So you think
That's not the coding.
No. I was saying Commonwealth. That you're talking about. That's the Commonwealth.
That's the Commonwealth.
Yeah, yes.
But
how? But how does it
could
apply
also apply to the European Union.
Ah. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
We cannot say that we do not need any of the countries that make up the European Union as not needing them.
Right.
To be our friends and allies.
Yes.
We just don't have to be governed by them.
Yeah, yes, I see, yes. It wasn't that it was particularly the EU. You were saying it could equally apply to the Commonwealth. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it does apply to the Commonwealth, but it could equally apply to the European Union.
We all need each other.
We all need each other,
yes. Now, the original context of the passage is being given different gifts, which we often think of in terms of abilities, which I think is right.
Mm. Yes.
Not necessarily natural abilities, though. There may be spiritual abilities. If we are applying that to the Commonwealth and to the EU, we're talking about different countries being drawn together. The different countries have different abilities, and different spiritual positions as well. You know, within the Commonwealth, I guess Britain is seen as the sort of spiritual leader because of that. That's where the Queen is based.
Yes,
maybe not seen as a political leader, but you know, spiritually, there's parts of the culture that derive from it. And in the European Union, you have the sort of spiritual heart of the EU is France and Germany and their relationship with each other, I would say. It's the way that they came together after the Second World War and didn't want another war, and this was a way of working together and eventually...
And not being enemies.
Yes, yeah. So I can see that, and I can see that they have different things to contribute. You know, Germany with its great industries and industrial wealth, but, you know, for example, producing all the cars that we, all the best cars that we drive in this country. And, you know, they have different areas have different things to contribute. But, and here's my question to you then, taking another passage from Scripture, which this is Jesus speaking, so a different part of Scripture. I've taken it in this particular version. This is, he's quoted a couple of times saying this. This is Mark chapter 9, verse 43. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. So that's a member of your body. I'm just using the same illustration. Now it's in a different context, but I think we could apply that, couldn't we? You know,
I think we could.
Because you were saying that certain countries were thrown out. So although they're all very important parts of it, there's at some point where a part of the body, in this case the hand, well, that's an extreme example. If your hand is causing you to sin, the whole idea is that you shouldn't cut your hand off. It's so vital. But if it's dragging you into hell or dragging you down, then you need to cut it off. So how do we apply that to the EU? Does this mean, I mean, is Britain the hand that needs to be cut off from the EU? Are we dragging everyone down?
That's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought that way. But I think that the EU is being governed. In fact, we know that it's being governed by a handful of people who do not look to God for their guidance.
Yes. Yeah.
Who do not...
Right. Yes. Yeah, I understand. Yes.
Consider that there is a spiritual aspect beyond humanism and humanity.
Yes.
The European Union has cut off all sorts of spiritual avenues for people.
Yes,
including the church.
If listeners think that's going too far, well, no, the members of the Commission, which is the EU Commission, are the main group that run the place. The MEPs, the members of the European Parliament, can discuss laws that are put forward and then send them back to be reconsidered. But the laws, and they can even suggest a law to be considered, the MEPs, but even then it has to go through the Commission as well. So the laws to be put forward to actually go, to be actual laws, to be ratified, must come from the Commission, who are unelected. And some people argue with me about that, saying, no, there's a vote, but that's not the same, really, as being properly elected, because who the electorate, that is to say the people, don't have a vote. What they do is they have a whole, they're presented, the members of the Commission are presented, and the MEP say, do we want them or not? It's not like each of them are campaigning to be elected by the electorate as a whole. And so it's not democratic.
No.
In democracy, because, you know, demos, the first bit means the people. You know, it isn't the people involved.
We are actually governed by the Commission.
Yeah,
because
if
we say we do not want to follow a particular course of action, which is set down in law, then we are told to go back and think again.
We could say that's the case to do with if we take the referendum that we had in this country. They're not happy with it. The other side of it, though, you were saying that they're not accepting that there's God who has authority over their actions and their decisions. There were a few cases of this. There was a recent case of an EU commissioner who had to virtually renounce his Roman Catholic faith. They were very suspicious of him, because if you're Roman Catholic, you put in God's ways first. For example, he was against abortion. I think that was the particular case in point, that he was against abortion. But they would also talk what they refer to as LGBTQX.
The rest of the alphabet.
It is getting a bit silly, but we know what we mean. The rights of this particular grouping who have what they see as their sexual orientation. He would, you know, would think their lifestyle was sinful, and they thought that this couldn't be in place. So as soon as you're not allowing that to be there, well, you're not allowing for a diversity of opinion. You haven't really got diversity. But also, you're certainly not putting God first. So the fact that that became an issue, not for the first time, shows that, in fact, they're really not going the way of God. So the question is then, in applying this passage, if we apply 1 Corinthians 12 to the EU, really what we're saying is that they haven't got the right head. You know, there's all the parts of the body, but it's the head's wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's facing the wrong direction. But I think it's the wrong head.
Yes. Well, it's the head that controls the body. Whatever you consider the controlling part of the body comes from, I would say it was the head and the brain.
Yes. Yes, right at the start of, I'm just referring back to the passage, right at the start of this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, it starts with saying, I don't want you to be led astray. Verse 3, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So the two sides of it, they were denying the ways of God in the incident that I just spoke about. And that they are not putting Jesus first deliberately. They're making themselves entirely secular, effective, functionally atheist in the way they operate. So the rest of it doesn't follow. They're the wrong head. So we can't have all these different parts of the body. So taking that logic, Britain should get out of the EU as fast as possible. No delay. There's a as we broadcast this, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls and members of the EU, we're about to have a vote in the Parliament, in the British Parliament, what's being referred to as a meaningful vote. Makes me worried that all the other votes are meaningless. I don't quite know. But to do with the withdrawal of Britain from the EU. So it's coming up. This is we're being very topical today on up to the minute. I guess if you're listening, Theresa May, which, you know, I imagine she's an avid listener, what we're saying is, can you please not, whatever you do, extend Article 50 so we stay in the EU any longer? We need to get out right now.
We do.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we're agreed on that. Well, look, any views that you have are gratefully received. But I just want to close with saying, I'll ask you to pray in a minute, Meryl. Mm-hmm. We like to close the show with prayer. The calling Jesus Lord is really at the heart of the Christian message, because Lord means someone being in total command. Jesus is Lord means Jesus is God, Jesus is King, Jesus is in authority. And the only way to live a right life and receive the blessings of God, and in fact, you know, as an individual, to go through death into the life to come, the only way is to accept that Jesus is Lord, which means making changes and ordering everything to be under Jesus' lordship. And for an individual, and if that's you, you know, I encourage you to make that change to accept that Jesus is in charge, and then maybe go back to the Bible. I mean, I always recommend reading through Mark's Gospel, the whole thing. It only take you a couple of hours, and find that when you come to that verse, I need to make changes. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Don't cut off your hand. Do what it's actually pointed to, and trust in Jesus to change you. And as far as the EU is concerned, in saying we need to get out, I think that is true. But what I'd really like to see is the leaders of the EU to change so that they do trust Jesus, and then the EU will be blessed. I don't want to see the EU cursed, as it says in this scripture. It says Jesus is accursed. But the implication is that you in turn will be cursed by rejecting Jesus. You know, bad thing, curse meaning bad things will happen to you. And I think that's where it's heading. So if they would just change, if enough people, maybe in the European Commission, would just think again and examine the claims of Christ, maybe we'd be in a very different position. Would you pray for the EU and for Britain?
Yes.
Thank you.
Father God, we come to you today. Thank you that you have bestowed your Spirit upon us. Thank you that your Spirit came to show us Jesus and to demonstrate that he acceded to your will. He did what you wanted him to do. He came to earth and he lived, he died, was crucified, but he rose again to demonstrate that sin need have no power over us. Lord, we bring the European Union to you today. Lord, they do not look to you as their head. They do not regard you as a living being worthy of being worshipped and adored and governed and used as a governing principle. Lord, we pray for them today. We pray that they will come to acknowledge you as Lord and Saviour in their lives individually and as a governing body, that they will come back to praying and reading your word. Lord, there are so many countries, 27 countries that make up that European Union, but yet no longer can they acknowledge you as a guiding principle in their corporate life. Lord, we pray for them and we pray for ourselves that as God, you are Lord of this planet, whether they believe in that or not. Your Spirit tells us that you are Lord of all the earth, not just of the European Union, but of the whole planet. Lord, as this world gets darker and darker, may we all gradually see that more and more and come to worship you more and more as the Lord of all the earth. Amen.
Amen. And that's it for Good News for Radio for this episode. We'll be back with you very soon. Please remember to subscribe to get all the episodes and share this around. This is It's an important message, so please share it with your friends, share it on all your social media platforms, and bye for now. Catch you later.